All right. Praise the Lord. I'll just take the questions, of course, the way they asked it, one by one. A number of questions have been asked. First, the first one is about whether it's okay for that. He said that the law of preachers condemns secular books, and like you're talking about business books, motivational books, and stuff like that. And that even some people who condemn it, they still quote some things that you find in those same materials. This is where I will answer it. Life has different realms. Is that okay? It is not a matter of this is wrong that you can't read secular books. Actually, I do. I do. You are saying that one of the questions you asked, that some of the things I say, that is it a special grace I have or something every Christian can operate in, that I seem to have insight into, maybe like business, the way they work and all of that. Let me mix the two as I'm answering. I brought that one up because I read a lot. I read. Like last time I was in Abuja, I was going to Sokoto to go and minister, so I slept over in Abuja so as to take an early morning flight to Sokoto the next day. So when we're driving in Abuja, my friend who came to pick me, one of our brothers, inside the traffic, we saw one guy selling books. I bought about 4 books there inside the traffic, at the traffic light. 2 spiritual books, if I have one of them in my bag here, by this man on TV that talks on the temple of God, the Ark of the Covenant, things like that. Perry Stone. 2 by Perry Stone. But one of them is a book titled How They Started. It's a book on different companies, how they started. There you see eBay, how eBay started is in there. I think the way Google started is inside there. The ones I've read, just a few. One of the ones I read is the way IKEA. You know IKEA, this furniture company, the way it started is inside there. I bought it. Why? There are facts of life. I just want to read what is inside there. And that's one of the ways by which I get insight, the way I get understanding. So is it wrong to read secular books? My first answer is no. It is not wrong. But you must understand that, like I was saying, life has different realms. And whatever you are doing, know the realm you are operating by. Let me give you an example. I'm a medical doctor, right? I'm a specialist. I work in UNTH. When I'm doing my work, I don't really think I read any spiritual book to do that work. I don't know whether I get my point. I'm a pathologist, all right? I have to learn everything. The same book my Muslim colleagues use. I have a professor who's a Muslim in Lagos there. We use the same books. We attend the same conferences. We attend the same seminars. All right? That time I told you I went to Ghana. I went for our International Academy of Pathology conference a whole week. Okay? So if those things were in books, I'll read it. They have to do with my work. They have to do with my profession. All right? But that's kind of on a physical level. I look at human tissues. We look at human biology. We look at human diseases. That's one realm of life. But there are things they say in that realm that I disagree with all the time. Why do I disagree? Because Elihu says something. I will draw my wisdom from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. As a rule, today in medicine, the way it is taught is that everything is by evolution. Everything is by mistake. Everything is an accident. Viruses can just change and go like this. I know those things, but I disagree with them every day. He says, I will draw my wisdom from afar and I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. In anything I do, I ascribe righteousness to my maker. As part of my work, I'm a teacher of medical students. I teach fourth year medical students, medicine 6 years. The fourth year, they are in my class. I say something jokingly in class. If you ever seen any doctor that attended my class, he will tell, they all know me that I'm a preacher, they know the way I talk, they will remember. I always say this, our books will say, during the evolutionary process, when I get to class, I tell them that is a joke. I don't believe it. And I say, matter of fact, I don't believe that. I'll say, God, in his infinite mercies and everlasting kindness, made this kind of cells in our body so that when this happened, they can do this. I now begin to describe the cells and ask, teach them what I'm supposed to teach. But how did it come to be? I said, I don't believe all these lies they tell you. And I say, the whole class will laugh. Actually, even though it sounds like I'm joking, but that's actually what I believe. When they tell you that I'm reading, they say something is incurable. In my mind, I said, look, until you lay hands on it. Now, why do I say all of this? I said, knowledge is in different levels. Because I have another level of knowledge, which I interpret this physical knowledge in the light of that knowledge. Okay, life is in three levels. There's the physical realm, then there is the soulish realm, like it's described, the emotional realm, you know. Like now, doctors found out over time, all right? And this is something, reading the scriptures, I knew for a long time. There are a lot of those things are caused by emotional problems, and that you can actually, from emotional levels, cause physical things to happen. They don't teach it much, but people know it. There's a story I tell all the time I watched on TV, Discovery Channel. Now, you're asking me how I learn things. If I'm watching TV, I'm either watching news analysis, history, documentaries. That's where I get information from. All right? So I'm watching Discovery Channel, and they're interviewing this doctor, an American doctor. And he said, I never take hope away from my patients. They said, why? He said, once he had a patient, now listen to this, interest you. He had the patient, the man was sick, they diagnosed his sickness, told him he had a particular kind of disease. He didn't tell us the name of the disease. And they told the man that the disease will get worse like this. After some months, you begin to feel like this. Then it's likely you will die maybe within a year. So they treated him, like they said. He became bad, like they said he would become bad, and he was dead within a year. Are you getting me? But there's an issue. They now did an autopsy. An autopsy is you examine the person who has died to see what really killed him. And they found that there was nothing wrong with the man. They found that in the autopsy that there was nothing wrong with this man. So the doctor was surprised. So he believes that the man died because he told him he was going to die. He says since that time, he does not take hope away from patients anymore. That what will he do? He will tell the man, they now asked him, what if a disease you see a man has, 90% die within a year? You say, I will tell the man, 10% live beyond a year. Now, I told the story to let you know that we know that there's a level above the physical. And that's why Chinese medicine, they use a lot of that. Acupuncture, and some of the things they do in acupuncture, nobody understands how they work. But they seem to work. Then there is a level beyond that level. I call it the level of the highest heavens, where things are controlled from. This is my own, because I don't believe you can separate life. You know, this is spiritual, this is physical. We are describing it now, but they actually work together. For example, if God pronounces a curse upon people, the doctors will find the disease that the curse produced, but they will not be able to say where it started from. Do you understand what I'm saying? One man says something his name is an American preacher. I remember his name in a moment. He said that the world likes to think only in the physical. He said, so when they say they go to Japan, they find out that the Japan people, they live long. Some of the oldest people on this earth, they are in Japan. They have a lot of people that are over 100 years old in Japan. So they start checking their food. What do they eat? How do they exercise? He said, the mistake they are making, and I agree with him because I have understanding, is that they think that life is purely physical. He said, but if they realize that the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that is a key to long life. Are you catching that? And that his own assessment is that Japanese people are more like Africans. They worship elders. In fact, they worship ancestors, literally. He believes that their long life, you have to connect it with the respect for elders. Honor your father and your mother. It's in the Bible like that. So the people who are always looking for physical things, they will not bother to look at that spiritual connection. But I look at the spiritual connection. Why do I do that? Because I read a book that is higher than the other books. I read the Bible. Are you getting my point? I meditate on the word of God. It is the highest level of knowledge. There are things the Bible doesn't bother teaching because the knowledge is too low. Like how to cook rice. Have you noticed that? There's no chapter in the book on how to cook rice. That knowledge is too low. Do you get what I'm saying? It's too low. How to start your car. You know, the Bible has said that read that one from common books. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If you want to learn how to cook, get a cookery book. Then while you are reading the cookery book, if God wants to give you a new menu, He will breathe it into you as inspiration. Usually you cannot receive that inspiration except you already know about cooking. So that gives you a platform for receiving what the Holy Spirit wants to give you. That is the way I handle these other books. Like now, I saw a book once. I quote from it a lot because the man sinned against God in the book. So I'm always using that one to explain. The man at the time was called, at the time was the richest man in the world. His name is J.P. Getty, Paul Getty. Paul Getty was very rich. He was the richest man in the world. So one day I saw his book, How to Be Rich. Oh, I said, this would be nice to read. I wasn't planning to be rich like him, like that, but I just like to know things. So very beautiful book, nice to read. And I kept on reading. All I was just reading was reading his life. I will see the things he did right. How do I know they are right? Because the Bible says they are right. I will see the things he did wrong. How do I know they are wrong? Because the Bible says they are wrong. One of the things he did wrong was that he said, how do you make money? He said, get up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. That is his key for being rich in life. Get up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. I laughed. I said, it's a lie. How do I know it's a lie? The Bible says, it is vain to rise up early and go to bed late, and thereby eating the bread of sorrows. I said, any money you make like that will never be a blessing to you. And as a matter of fact, I was right, because his son said money was a curse to our family. He was the richest man on this earth. So the point is that where is your faith? Are you getting my point? If your faith, I've heard of preachers who read 58, or is it 48 Laws of Power? All right? By, is it something Green, Robert Green? And they are doing leadership training. And they are quoting, you must never apologize to your subordinates. It's against the word of God. Jesus made it clear that you should be ready to wash the feet of your servants. So if you can wash the feet of your servants, why can't you apologize to your subordinates? Therefore, I will decree that no Christian should read 58 Laws of Power. I can say that from understanding. Not because I have a blanket law. And there are books that are purely satanic. You must understand that it's not everything that is secular that is secular. Some of them are satanic. There are a lot of satanic materials out there. There are people, you read their story, you can pick stories. Like now, one day I read the story of Richard Branson. I read him, that's the story of how Virgin Atlantic. I read the story of Richard Branson, I have the book. At the end of the day, I said, this man will die poor. You hear what I said? Mark my words. After reading the book, I said, this man will die poor. He's a billionaire today, but I said he will die poor. I don't have time to explain the details of why I said so. It wasn't based on business principles. If you write a book and you rail against God, either overtly or subtly, once I perceive your railing against the Almighty, I said, God's judgment is upon you, you will die poor. Unless he writes another book, and I can't analyze things there now. You're writing a book, you are glorifying some things that God may have overlooked. But once you throw it in his face, because God, you know, hypocrisy is bad. But you know, God prefers hypocrisy to an overt sinner. It's very funny. What God likes is righteousness in the heart and outside. But God says, these Israelites, they sinned. That they are not even ashamed of their sin. They are bragging about it. And he was very angry. That if they sin and go and hide and say, no, I did not sin, no, God prefers it. That is, he's saying that at least you know what you are doing is bad. That once you start throwing evil as normal, that's why all this talk they talk in the Western countries, there is no way God will not judge those things. You rail against God on a daily basis. The economies will keep on having problems. Terrorism in some places will not stop. It will just be changing faces, because every day as a nation you keep on saying God does not exist. He's a stupid God. His people are idiots. They don't know anything. And you think you'll keep quiet because somebody is praying for you. After a while, you'll get, if you're a girl, won't you get tired? Bible is long-suffering. God, the Bible says God is long-suffering, not ever-suffering. Long-suffering and ever-suffering are two different things. So something can be long. Anything that's long comes to an end one day. So I look at all of those principles. So I pick a book. I read Richard Branson. I saw a few stories. There will be lessons I see there that the Word of God confirms. Do you understand? And it will become an interesting story to explain the Word of God. But you must never... In fact, there are books, like I was telling you earlier, once the book is speaking, because these are people's stories, once it's exalting things that I see are bordering on satanic, I condemn the book outright. This man, what is his name again? The Apprentice. Donald Trump. I read his book, Out of the Deal. And I think Out of the Comeback, I read a few of his books, and at the end of the day, I said to myself, this man, well, somebody quoted him once for me. They said, do you believe in God? He said, he has been good to me. What he's saying, in effect, is that I believe in God, and God has been good to me. You understand? But then when I was reading his book, he said some things about marriage. I said, anybody who follows this man in this area will fail in life. And check it, he too has been married many times. One day I watched a documentary on the life of the man who started CNN, Ted Turner. Ted Turner built CNN from nothing until it became a multi-billion company. They finally sold it to Time Warner. Currently, it's a Time Warner company and all of that. They interviewed Ted Turner, and Ted Turner made the same mistake that JP Getty also made. He said Ted Turner used to work, I think, how many hours? Is it 15 or 16 hours every day? No, it's not 16. I think 18 hours a day. How many hours do you have in a day? 24. He used to work 18 hours a day. I said, oh, it is vain to rise up early and go to bed late. And as a matter of fact, you see it also. His own riches became a bread of sorrows because he will marry today. After sometimes his wife will leave him because this is not life. So I read all of these things. I just like to gather information. So what I was saying is that where is your faith? That's what matters. If you think that book is a key to prosperity, you're in trouble as a believer. Do you understand my point? But if you're a student of economics, all your economics textbooks are secular books. But being an economics specialist, you also know that prosperity for every nation is spiritual. Because righteousness exalts a nation. You know that. But when a spiritual force has been set in motion, the activities in the realm of the physical, usually they follow certain patterns. They follow laws. Do you get my point? They follow the law of gravity. They follow the law of acceleration. They follow a lot of laws. And those are the laws you can learn from those books. But your faith, Elihu said, I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. I will draw my knowledge from afar. Nothing must be allowed to contradict the Word of God. And we know that the Word of God is not just information. All these other things are information. They may inspire you a bit. The Word of God is not information. It's not inspiration. It is life. It's a physical force. If I take the Word in the morning and I look at it, I say, no good thing will it withhold from there that walk uprightly. It calls a bird of prey from the east and a man of his purpose from a distant country. God can save by a multitude. He can save by a few. And I declare it over my day. That word will go out and tap somebody. Say, Banky needs help. Go and help him. The Word of God is living and active. What that means is that the Word of God is not just advice. It works. When you utter it, it goes around and says, hey, fuel is going to be scarce. And Banky is supposed to drive from Enugu to Onitsha. He will go and wake one man up. Open your filling station. You are broke. The little reserve you have, sell it. It is the word. So as I'm driving, Anyinka says, hey, look like our phone is running dry. I said, we'll buy. But early in the morning, I declared, you understand, that God sends a bird of prey from the east and a man of his purpose from a distant country. He has spoken that word. That word goes out. He wakes him up. Open that filling station. What are you reserving that for? Don't you know you are broke? There's scarcity. When we get there, we just say, let's check this till the seating station. We just drive in there. And the man who happens to be waiting because he needs money. He doesn't know we are coming, but it's the Holy Spirit that we said, go and wait. He sells us fuel. And we continue going. We don't even know what happened. All we know is that we got fuel. It is a word that went out to go and arrange it. We know that thing. Therefore, we don't neglect the word of God to be pursuing networking. Are you getting my point? Some people spend all their whole life networking. Like, as a preacher, I have a law against networking. But I have networks. But I did not bother to arrange networks, that is, as a preacher. You were saying earlier, there are preachers that believe that the way your ministry will go forward, you join some cliques, you join some groups of people. I have refused all my life to join anybody. All I do is I preach the word. But by virtue of the word that I'm preaching, you understand? I'm having networks. I met you through Okite, you understand? Who I met through Kingsley, who I met through Brown, who was my student. Now you have made me preach to all kinds of people that I would not have met by myself. Most of the times I've come to Onitsha has been your invitation. So Onitsha, as a mission field for me, God used you to open the door. So most people I preached to in Onitsha, most, apart from those I met by radio, who I came physically, most. I'm trying to think of any other, there's only one other church I came to in Onitsha, which was not your invitation, but it was somebody I met through you. Can you see that? So I can go and preach. The way to break open a new door is to know the key man in the city. But did I try to know any key man? I was just doing my work. And the Holy Spirit said, all right, there's truth we need to teach the people of God. Or how do we connect these people? Introduce this man to this man. Let this man meet this man. And that's it. They met each other. And that's it. It's working. Our sin is always when we now make a law, a God, I wanted to say, when we make a God out of the operations of the Spirit, not knowing that it's the Spirit that's operating, it is not those operations that are the God. Do you get the key? You get the key. Those are the things about, do you read secular books? Read a lot. Newspaper is secular. News is secular. History is secular. But you always interpret it with the knowledge of scriptures. And you must never spend all your time reading those things without spending as much time cooking yourself up with the word of God. Do you understand that? All right. So now, you see, I've answered two questions now. The second one, he said that, is it inspiration? Is it? I don't know. All I know is that I interpret, I read a lot, I gather information a lot, I interpret everything in the light of God. And the Bible says that God has hidden wisdom for the upright. So is it a special grace? No, I don't think it is. So how should every Christian do it? One, communicating is easier for me because I have the grace to teach. Do you understand? Yeah, that one is. It's a grace. All right? But the information, I just gather it and I interpret with the light of God. And because I constantly feed with that wisdom from above, it makes me see things that other people don't see. Ability to see is a gift of God. And when I say gift of God, I mean it's something that God gives to you because you're obedient to His word. So can everybody do it? Yes, I think so. I think everybody can. All right? Now, the next one, you said borrowing. Okay. I'll just say a few things simply. I don't have all the time. We must understand what the Bible says. When it says, owe no man anything, He told them specifically, they was talking in context. He said, respect authority. That is, do all your duties to mankind. Are you getting my point? That's what he was saying. Whether you like it or not, I hope you know you borrow on a regular basis. Let me give you an example. When do you pay the, if you take a taxi, when do you pay? Is that at the beginning or at the end? At the end. You borrowed until you paid. You borrowed that taxi ride. I hope you understand that. Some people don't want you to owe them at all. You go to a bus station, they collect their money at the beginning. But the principle there is that in life, eventually, you owe people at a point. If you hire laborers in the morning, when do you pay them? What the Bible says actually is that when something is due, always meet your obligation. So he commanded expressly. He said, the wages of a laborer must not sleep with you. So if you hire people in the morning to come and work on your house, one, don't hire them if you don't have money to pay them. That one is a sin. A lot of people commit that sin every day. They don't have money to pay. They didn't tell the man, you know, this is a work the man does. This is how he feeds his family. Let him go and work for somebody else. Why should you hire him? At the end of the day, say, okay, Aboki, sorry, I don't know. The bank just went and closed when I was thinking that. That is a sin. But the Bible says that if he sleeps hungry and he cries to God at night, you are in trouble. Don't let that happen to you. That is what is wrong. But if you hire the people, come and dig this for me in the house. The agreement is I pay you 2,000 naira a day if you do this amount of work. When is the closing time? We both agree it's 5 o'clock. By 5 o'clock, you are owing, technically, because they are working for you. But you are not really owing because the money is not yet due. So once it is due, you pay. After it is due, you are now proper owing in disobedience to scripture. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's one I want to understand. So is it right to borrow? Please, the Bible never said don't borrow. Wisdom is what you need in that thing. I've tried to explain that it's impossible to live this life. Jesus did not borrow a calf. What do you call it? A colt. Did he not borrow a boat? When he was preaching, just said, Peter, I beg, let me use your boat for a while. Is that not borrowing? It becomes a sin when he refuses to return it. When he said, this is your boat, I like it too. Kai, let's just keep using it now. Go and look for another one. Then it becomes a sin. But at the point of need, he said, let me borrow. When Elisha was going to multiply oil for that woman, he said, go to all your neighbors, borrow vessels, borrow not a few. Now, I'm not encouraging people to just go and start borrowing, but you can understand that you borrow what you can use as is necessary and you can pay immediately it is due. This is what is wrong and this is sin that people commit every day. A man comes to you and says, please, I need 10,000 naira. I say, I'll pay you 5,000 at the end of this week and by next week I should pay you the balance 5,000. And he knows that he's not expecting any 5,000 naira. That is lying. That is stealing. That is ungodly. You buy something from somebody, I will pay you 10,000 this month, 10,000 next month. That month comes. You have the 10,000, you don't pay. The Bible says, don't tell your neighbor, go and come back tomorrow when you have it with you. That one is a sin. Do you understand my point? Then there is what they call business borrowing. Some people say, Lila, you must never borrow. I don't understand where the Bible, the scriptures they are reading, where it comes from. You understand? Because this is how, if you heard of Islamic banking, the concept of Islamic banking is that there's no interest. Do you understand? That they charge. I was reading a man, and he explained that, because the Bible also put a law against charging interest. You understand? But people misunderstand it. The man explained it in the Bible, from the scriptures, that was a commandment for poor people. What does it mean? Your neighbor comes to you. He needs money. His children are going to school. You understand? Next week. The government has not paid. Maybe he works in Ondo State. In Ondo State now, government has not paid him for months because they are looking for a ghost worker. The children must resume school in a private school. They don't care whether your governor is looking for a ghost worker or is not looking for a ghost worker. Are you getting the point? So now say, please, I need 10,000 naira or let's say 50,000 naira to pay my children's school fees. Once they start paying us, all right, I will pay you back. You're not saying that, well, I'll give you 50,000, but the interest is 5,000 a month. That is wickedness. He's not borrowing your money to do business. He's not borrowing your money for anything more than the needs he has. What the Bible commands are such times you don't charge interest. And it was commanding because a lot of people, that is what they used to do. They use people's needs and their pressures to put them in financial bondage. That is the one God says you must never charge interest. But I'm a trader. I am going to China. I have 2 containers coming. I want you to give me 5 million naira to import my containers. You are a thief if you don't offer to give me part of the profit. I'm not a thief now, you. Because my 5 million is going to make you maybe 2 million naira. Why should I bear the risk of giving you 5 million naira? That you are not willing to share with me some of the proceeds of the business you're about to do. At such times, that kind of borrowing is a joint venture kind of thing. And as a law, if I lend you the 5 million, I am entitled to a portion of the interest. But I cannot refuse that as a friend. Maybe I'm a multi-millionaire. 100 million naira is not money to me. And I'm trying to help you to set up. So it's okay, no, come on. You are my brother, you are my friend. Take the 5 million, don't worry. Then when you return the 5 million, I just say, no problem. I pocket it. What I'm doing is that I'm helping you set up. But if you went to somebody else who too is struggling like yourself, you want him not to invest his money in something else, invest in your own, you are asking him to invest. Because if that ship sinks and the containers go underwater, I hope you know he has lost 5 million. And one of the reasons why businessmen make profit is because they bear risk. Yes, that's one of the reasons why you make profit. Many times you are buying things from abroad, it doesn't get to Nigeria, it disappears somewhere along the line. That's the reason why you make profit. You get what I'm going to explain? Uh-huh. So these are the issues that, you know, just make a law. The God says you must never borrow. It is not true. If I'm planning to do business, the business is worth 10 million. And then, I don't have time, we're not talking about business now. But I will explain the principle to you that you must be careful that if God gives you something, you don't lose it. A lot of people, that's where they don't have wisdom. God gives them an idea, a project, something that will make them, we give them a power. You know, them just put it like that. Then they go and sell their best right. What do I mean? Somebody says, okay, how much do you need for the project? He says, I need 10 million. I say, okay, I will give you the 10 million, but I will take 80%. I tell people that way you have sold your best right. My advice to business was, always do things that you will still retain the control. So that you are giving the man, but okay, I'll give you 40%. Anything more, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you. Because this is my business, it's not your own. That's the mistake a lot of people make. All right, but we're not discussing business. But I hope I answered a bit of your question concerning borrow. No, God did not say you must never borrow. All right, if you are hungry, and hunger wants to finish you like this, and you don't have any salary that is coming, go to your friend and your neighbor and say, who has, and praise God, bros, this hunger is about to destroy your friend. Let me have some of that, your bread. If you can do it, I will just believe God. If I have a good friend that has money, I will believe God, I will ask him to give me the bread. Do you understand my point? There's no law against that. If I approach somebody to invest in the business, I'm willing to give him a portion of the proceeds, there is no law against that. You are not owing until your obligation is due and you are refusing to meet it. If you are the type that pay rent at the end of the month, all right, that is, you've stayed in the house, then you pay at the end of the month. You have borrowed for 29 days, but the 30th day when your rent is due, that is the day you start owing. You are not owing until that day. Please, I hope I've helped you out a bit. Then somebody said, how do I know the will of God for my life? And that one is very simple. I teach about it all the time. And this is how you know the will of God for your life. Number one, there are 2 sides to the will of God. There's the general side to the will of God. Paul said, this is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification. That you abstain from sexual immorality, that you don't defraud one another. That's the first general will of God. Obey that one first. What about the specific will of God? That is a long story we cannot tell now. God has a specific will for your life. First, you must know that. Then 2, God gives you 2 things. 1, he gives you gifts that you're supposed to use to be a blessing to people. And then 2, he gives you the opportunities to do work. Those 2 things are the will of God for you. Let me give an example. Did David have the gift of being a shepherd? It was relevant. His father had sheep. He had to keep the sheep. Your gift is your problem once you have a duty. You know what I mean? Do I have a gift of fatherhood? I don't know whether I have a gift of fatherhood. All I know is that I'm a father. And I must do my work. As God gives me money, I settle everybody in the family. There must be food. There must be clothes. There must be shelter. There must be school fees. Children must be entertained. I do all of that. That is my duty as a father. Do I have the gift of fatherhood? I don't care. Just do your duty. It's the will of God. That's number one. Then secondly, is it my duty to come and preach? No. I do that preaching because I have the gift. So there's a commandment upon me. He said, everyone has a grace according to the gift of Christ. He said, therefore, each person must exercise it. If I'm not here preaching, usually I'm somewhere else preaching. I'm rushing to Enugu now because I have to preach this evening. And that evening, preaching in Enugu, God didn't speak to me, say, Banke, my son, you know I have anointed you. Right now, begin to preach. No. I got up to Enugu, I said, now, time to start preaching. I looked for a hall, I rented it. You didn't wait for Holy Spirit to tell you. Holy Spirit, if you don't like it, tell me. But whether you talk or not, I will do it. Why? It's my gift. Paul never used to ask Holy Spirit, should I preach? He used to preach anywhere Jesus has not been preached. The Holy Spirit doesn't like it. He said, no, Paul, don't go here. He tries to go. He said, don't go here. Then he now dreams. He said, come back to Macedonia. We're going to Macedonia. But otherwise, he used to preach anytime. So my own was that, Panky, what are you doing with your gift? You can teach the word of God, and God has given me a lot of understanding. So I started writing it. From there, I rented the hall and started preaching to people. And I said, this hall that I rented for 7 days a week, how come I preach only once a week? I doubled it. That was the only reason that I started preaching twice a week in that place. Because I said, why am I wasting the space? Let's teach some more. So I told everybody, okay, meeting's on Saturday now. We'll do it again on Monday. Monday, people came. It was so difficult for me. I said, brethren, please, this Monday is not good. Let's shift to Tuesday. Is that the will of God? I believe it is. Why? The Lord did not complain. So when God gives you a gift, you use it. All those other ones of Holy Spirit now spoke to me as I was sleeping. He can do it. Are you getting my point? And when he does it, you will know. Do you get what I'm saying? People say that you have to know how to be sensitive. It's good. But in case you are not sensitive, Holy Spirit knows how to shout. Now, sometimes we Christians talk as if the Holy Spirit only talks to sensitive people. He only talks to obedient people. He doesn't like talking to sinners who will not listen to him. But whether that obedient person is sensitive or not is besides the point. Holy Spirit will go and say, Banky, Banky. If my ear is deaf, Banky, get up, I'm talking to you. Are you not listening to me? He can do both of them. How do I know? Samuel's case. Holy Spirit said, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel kept on snoring. Samuel! He woke up. Maybe Reverend Eli needs something. So he ran to Eli. You were calling me? Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Okay. He went back to sleep. He didn't know it was Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit kept on talking. Finally, Eli said, it must be the voice of God, my son. Go and lie down. Next time you hear it, say, speak, your servant is listening. Holy Spirit didn't say, you know, Samuel, I've told you to be sensitive. I wanted to talk to you. You did not hear. No. He only does that to those who are disobedient. People like Balaam. Balaam knew the voice of the Holy Spirit, but he couldn't hear clearly again. Why? He wanted money. How will you know the will of God for your life? One, do the general will. Obey the word of God. This is the will of God concerning you. Sanctification. That's number one. Number two, if you have a gift, use it to be a blessing to people. Number three, if they give you a duty, do it with all your might. Then number four, if God wants to now talk to you in the dream, he will come now. He will show his ID card. Like I always say, angel, he will send angel, you will have dreams, you will have visions, whatever is necessary. But those ones are not the primary ways by which he does things. Number one way by which God leads us is to teach us what is right and what is wrong. Like you have come here in the last few days, you are learning some things that are right and some things that are wrong. So he says, go out, do what is right, and don't do that which is wrong. That is number one leading of the Holy Spirit. I hope you've gotten my point. May God bless you. I have to go now.